Well, good morning again. Does everybody know me? No? I am Sandra's nephew, and I know it's been a while since I've been here. I've been in a couple plays here with her, I think it was last summer. Was it last summer I did the Multiply on the Wednesday nights? I think it was. And recently I haven't been around because I've been doing an internship. I'm going to school for my Masters of Divinity, so I'll be a master for long. I'm about to be finished, but so that's where I've been, and now I'm coming back to hang out with y'all for a little bit more. And today we're going to do a little bit different. I don't have a lot of good jokes like Paul does, and great stories and make us laugh, but I actually want to do. Y'all remember, as a kid, going through those Choose Your Own Path books? Have you ever read one of those books where you have a one page and then it has a decision at the bottom where it says, if you want to do this, if you want to go through the right door, then go to page 68. If you want to go to the left door, then go to page 25. Has anybody read those kind of books? Have you done that? Have you read one of those? Yes. I mean, I loved them because it would. If you pick the right door, then it'd be a totally different story. And you just, each time you go through a different path, different choice, it would take you through a different, and eventually you would die in the situation or whatever. So you had to figure out how to read the book the right way, the right path, choose the right path all the way through so you could actually finish with a happy ending. It's pretty ingenious books. I haven't seen them in years, but they were amazing. Loved them. And I want to kind of give you that kind of story today. It's not just a story. I'm not just going to tell you a story. I want you to actually answer, and there's going to be paths that we can choose. Okay? Say you and your spouse and a couple of kids, a couple of your children, are in the back seat of a car. You're driving at night. It's foggy. It's raining, storming. Can't see anything. And then you hydroplane. You're spinning around and around, and you end up in a lake. Okay, all three other the passengers are knocked out, and you're the only one awake. You're sinking in the car, and you manage to get out of your seatbelt, bust out of the window, and get out of the car. First choice. All right, we're at the end of this page. We have choice A. We can go ahead and try to save someone while we're in the water. Remember, you just got done fighting to get out of the car. And you're losing breath. or B, do you come up and get some air first? What would be the right choice? What would you do, Howard? Get some air first. He got it right the first time. Say we chose the other path and we try to save somebody. So we go to another page. It's in this page 22. And page 22 says, okay, now you have to decide which... Who are you going to save first? I mean, you could save one of the kids first. You can save your spouse first. I mean, which one are we going to go with? Ashton, who are we going with? Kids? So you save one of the kids first. Okay. The end of the story. The story ends. You drown. The kid makes it up. The other two, the other child dies and your spouse dies. The end of the story. So you got to go back. So we're going to go back to the default Howards, right? So you're going to come up for air first. You're going to take care of yourself first. Get some air, get fortified, and now that you have another decision to make. Who do you save next? You're going to go back down. Who are you going to save next? Anybody? Are you going to save one of the children, or are you going to save your spouse? The spouse. And why is that? Because once you save the spouse, I know it's hard. This actually comes from a first responder kind of quiz you have to take when you do these things, where to figure out the most logical way to save everybody. You have to first take care of yourself. Okay? You have to, before you can help anybody else, you have to take care of yourself. You have to love yourself, take care of yourself before you can do any good for anybody else. And then the next person you're going to take care of is the people around you that can help you help others, right? Your spouse in this situation, this terrible, terrible situation, is the most logical person to say for it next, because, you know, you are one flesh. She is the adult, or he is the adult, that can help you. Once you save them, you come up, you get breath, you both get breath again. And then you go down, it's a team as God made you, and go back in and save both the children, one and one. That's the only scenario that works out. It's the only way you can save the entire family, right? And the point of this message, this overall message today, which is kind of a unusual message for most churches, especially in our world today, where self-love is so rampant and self-idolization is, you know, my choice, my truth, my everything. You know, it's all about me. No matter, there is no ethics unless it's my ethics. It's hard for us as a church to say, you know, to look at ourselves and say, I need to take care of myself. So we're going to read from Matthew 22:34-40. And this is a very, very common passage that everybody knows, I'm sure, because it is the great commandment. This is one from Jesus himself. Okay, so, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, so they're, he had just shut up the Sadducees, now the Pharisees are coming in and saying, all right, we want to test him too. They gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Or greatest commandment in the law? And he said to them, you shall what? Love your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Amen. Can we say amen on that one? Amen. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor or others as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Jesus summed the whole law, all of ethics, all the Old Testament law, everything up in these two commandments. To love God first and to love others. But he didn't stop there. And in 3 points motto, and for the new people, if there's anybody new, the motto is loving God, loving others, and making disciples. He kind of, I mean, it's a perfect little cram all the basics into one motto, right? But what we leave off on that, it was a very important part of what he's telling us is to love yourself as, to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's going to be our focus today. All right. Father God, just let everything I say today be your words, not mine. Let your Holy Spirit just fill me and let nothing, even if I have it written on notes, let it be spoken unless it's from you, Lord. Let my hands be your hands and my feet be your feet. My words be your words. We love you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Now, so he did, there's a mirroring verse that mirrors this, and it's called the New Commandment in my Bible, my ESV Bible. And that's from John 13:31-35. Okay, we got that up there? Okay. When he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glory him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. But a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Again, he tells us to love one another. That is a just straight principle that we are supposed to love one another. No matter what their beliefs, no matter what they no matter who they think they are or whatever, we're supposed to still show the love of Christ. But how are we supposed to do this? As we love ourselves. But how are we supposed to love ourselves? And he tells us here, as I have loved you. You get that? That's how we love ourselves, is how he has loved us. And how has he loved you? How many of you love yourself? Raise your hands. Do you even think about that anymore? Because it's so contradictory to what our message is as Christians nowadays. Because it's so antithetical to what the world is teaching. Because it's all about self. You know, so we kind of get away from that and we try to just, you know, do what Jesus says and always think about others. But like in our scenario in the beginning, we have to take care of ourselves first, right? And how do we do that? Because how did Jesus love us? Anybody? How did he show his love for us? I mean, he gave his life for us. That's how important you are and you are and you are. If the world was nothing but just you, then that would be, he would die for you. That's how precious you are. I mean, take that in of how important you are. Not to get a big head about it or anything. We're not trying to be getting selfish about it, but he died for you. You are so precious and so important to him. So in this hectic world to where we're always going, we lose sight of ourselves and how important it is to take care of ourselves, that, and we're just giving to our families, to our ministries, or anything, you know, those kind of things, that we don't take time to actually take care of ourselves. And there's four main ways that I think we need to take care of ourselves: physically, mentally, spiritually, and, I know this is kind of weird, financially, taking care of ourselves. All right? So first of all, physically. Now, when I think about physically taking care of ourselves, I think about Paul. I mean, the preacher at this church that has, over the past year, made great strides and changes. He takes time, even though he's a very, very, very busy man, you know, with all the things he has to do for the church, for his family and everything else, but he takes time every day to go to the gym and work out. He takes time to, you know, and the mindfulness to try to eat right and do better. And he's been losing weight. He looks kind of jacked. And I've noticed actually in his sermons in the past, you know, few months, that a lot of times he brings in those, you know, his working out into his sermons. And I think it's really cool because I'm obviously, you know, a workout kind of guy. So, but I want to read from 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. You see that? We are not even our own. He has bought us. He died for us because he loves us that much. And now we're his. You know, we are his. And we need to take care of our bodies to glorify him. This is where his Holy Spirit lives inside of us. As a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And beyond that, we are supposed to take care of ourselves because, if we go back to that first scenario, we cannot help others. We cannot fulfill the great commandment. We cannot fulfill these things if we're not taking care of ourselves. Paul needs to take care of himself so he can take care of you. So he can take care of his family. You have to take care of yourself. Be mindful of your own physical health so you can take care of him. You can be there for your family. Is that not true? I mean, it's very important. It's important to God. It's important. Should be important to us also. All right, from 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. And this is not a selfish thing that I'm talking about. This is doing it for the glory of God, keeping yourself healthy physically for the glory of God so you can fulfill the great commandment and fulfill the law that was fulfilled through Jesus. All right? So the second thing is what? Mentally. We got to take care of ourselves mentally, right? And Paul touched on this story last week about Mary and Martha in Luke 10:38-42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Now, there's a couple ways you can look at this passage about resting in Jesus and that alone time with Jesus. But I want to point out a single word in here that is overlooked many times. And in verse 39, "And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching." This wasn't a passive thing. She was learning from the Lord himself. This is so crucial that we're supposed to be spending time in his word, studying on his word, and knowing how to make the decisions of our life. How can we know what to do in our lives if we're not in his word? How can we help others? And that's the focus also, is to take care of yourself so you can help others, right? How can we help others if making decisions and giving them guidance if we're not in the word of God? I got some statistics here that I looked up this morning. Just over 1/3 of U.S. adults, 34%, read the Bible once a week or more, while half read the Bible less than twice a year, including never. I mean, these are Christians. This is not the world overall. This is Christians in the Word of God. They may go to church, they may go to services, but as far as daily reading of the Bible, they are not in it. We are not in it. I mean, it's such a crucial thing to daily. If you're going to live out your life, how can you make the decisions of your life godly decisions for yourself and for your family and for the people you're serving, if you're not in the Word of God every day? From Matthew 11:28-29, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is another passage that we take as a comfort, the comfort of Jesus, spending time with Jesus. And it's always put as he's where we get our rest. But we get our rest through the learning. And learn from me. In his word, learning from Jesus himself, learning from God himself to direct our paths. This is taking care of ourselves. See how this is different than the world's focus on yourself? All right, so the next point is spiritually. We need to take care of ourselves spiritually. And what's the best way to take care of yourself spiritually? Getting alone with God in prayer. That's why it's so important, and this church focuses on prayer a lot. We've got some pretty powerful prayer warriors in this church. And we actually have a little prayer room over here that you can get alone, and it's got little music CDs and stuff and all kinds of things. It's pretty interesting. But let's read from Matthew 14:23. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain, this is Jesus, by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Now this is God that's been out working all day in the ministry, working, going, going, going. He's been doing his thing all day long. And how does he end his day? How does he get refreshed? How does he take care of himself so the next day he can continue his ministry? He gets alone in a quiet place and spends time with his Father in prayer. We also need to do this every day, every night, ending our day with spending time with him. In Mark 1, 35 through 39, Jesus preaches in Galilee. And rising early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also. For that is why I came out." And he went throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. So how did Jesus start his day? Prayer. Yes, he got up early. He got up early before everybody else got up and spent time taking care of himself, getting refreshed and getting ready for the day, getting fortified for the day. We need to do this also. Take that time. What's important to you, you will do. I mean, we have these hectic lives where we're busy, 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 always taking care of everybody else, especially if you have a family or a ministry or whatever, your jobs, things like that. They can overload our lives, even these phones. I mean, they overload our lives too, even in our downtime where we have the time, we're on the phone. But these things are crucial, essential things. We need to take care of ourselves so that we can take care of the other people in our lives. All right? Some more statistics. This blew my mind. Only 10% of Christians aged 18 to 30 pray daily. Compared to, this is a great number, huh? 37% of Christians over 50 years old. Just praying daily, one time daily. And then, I don't have it on here, but there was another chart that showed that even those ones that did pray daily, or when they did pray, it was only like less than a minute. The majority of people is less than a minute. It's just, thank you, God, I'm here, or now I lay me down to sleep, or maybe the Lord's Prayer, but that's it. There's no real... Where are you getting your refreshment on that? You know, how are you getting spiritually filled or spiritually refreshed and taking care of yourself so you can spread that to others? We need that time, that alone time, morning, day, night, with God, making him important for not only for ourselves, but for the people we are interacting with through our lives. Now, the last one I almost left off. But I think it's important. I'm a fan. I like finances, and Jesus liked finances too. He 13 of the 39 parables he talked about money. Okay, so Matthew 25, 14 through 30. That's where the parable of the talents. And I'm not going to read this. Everybody know the parable of the talents, pretty much most people. If you don't know, it's where a master gives. One of his servants, he gives him five talents or $5. Okay, he gives another one $2, and he gives another one $1, and then he comes back later, and the guy that got the $5, he doubled it. He invested his money, and he came back and doubled it. Said, "Look, you gave me five, I gave you 10." The one that had two doubled it and got four. The one with only got one, obviously the master didn't really trust him as much as the other ones. And he showed he was not trustworthy, because he just took that dollar and made a hole in the ground and buried it. And When he came back to the master was furious and condemned him for his disobedience and made him give it actually to the guy that made the most money, right? And how does this apply to us? We need to be faithful stewards of our money. And this is not a tithing message, but this is a look at it from taking care of yourself. We need to be taking care of our finances. We need to be focused on managing our money, taking care of our households, because we cannot take care of our own finances. How can we help the church? How can we help the finances of the ministries? How can we take care of our families? And we have to be wise about where we are giving our money to, and not just giving our money to because it may be a loved one, someone we actually, you know, we really love, and we love them so much we're just giving and giving and giving and giving to where it's breaking us, even though it's actually doing more harm than it's doing good. I mean, we've all been in those kind of situations, I'm sure. You have to say no at sometimes. At some point, you have to say no if it's not doing any good, if it's not promoting for the glory of God. You've got to say no. And you've got to take care of yourself so you can, in your own, you know, in your own storehouses, so that you can do what God wants you to do with your money. It all comes from Him regardless. That dollar that one guy got, it came from the Lord. But he didn't grow it. He didn't handle it properly. And it's a very serious thing for us to handle our finances, not only to help others and do His glory, but to make sure we're taking care of ourselves and our own household and growing that money responsibly so that it can overflow into others. See what I'm saying? I know it's kind of a, didn't really fit quite well, but I think it's important that we focus on that also. Okay, so Jesus told us to love others, love our neighbors, right? Right? And how are we supposed to love our neighbors? As we love ourselves. And how do we love ourselves? The way He loves us. The way Jesus loves us. And what did He do? How did He show His love for us? He died for our sins. And He taught us how to live and how to love others. He showed us this. He came to earth in the form of a man. He came off His throne and lowered Himself to a servant, to the lowest of low, coming from the lowest of low area. I mean, and showed us His humbleness and how we are supposed to live, right? And He loved us that much to do all that for us. So you are that important. And I want you to remember that throughout your daily lives and take that time to take care of yourself, because that is what is most important if you're going to help others, if you're going to fulfill the great commandment, if you're going to fulfill the law that Jesus gave us to love God and love others. Do not forget about that part about yourself. And I'm speaking to myself on this because I get caught up and busy and just don't. And I'm sure most of us do in this hectic, hectic world we got. So, all right, let's go to the Father. Father God, thank You for all You've done for us. Thank You for loving us as Your adopted children, Your sons and daughters, enough to die for us on the cross, enough to show us how to live, and enough to just give everything for us. Let us keep mindful of how important we are to You, that we are so precious in Your sight, not in a selfish way, but to value ourselves and love ourselves enough that we can fulfill Your commandments. Lord, just guide us every day. Give us the desire to spend time in your word, to spend time in prayer with you. Give us the desire to take care of our bodies. And even on a hectic, hectic world and hectic time schedules, we take the time to do things that are healthy, healthy for our bodies, because they are the temple of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us manage our finances in the best way possible, not being frivolous with our money or any of our resources, even with our own talents and our gifts that you've given us, because it's all gifts from you, Lord. They're all gifts from you. Let us handle all those things in a way that glorifies you and that can be best used and multiplied as an investment into your kingdom that spreads through the entire world. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, Lord, for all the churches that are preaching your word today, all across the world. We pray these things in your name. Amen.